Okay, thank you so much. Good afternoon, everyone. Great to see you guys. Let's continue on these topics we've been discussing the past few weeks about Yemos Mashiach, different halachas of what's going to be in the future. And today's topic is learning Yerushalmi. We're going to see in just a moment how the Yerushalmi seems to be the main learning that's going to take place in the times of Mashiach. And let's go through that. Why now, in the current circumstances, we learn Bavli, and in Lasalava, what's going to bring about the Gula, and what's going to keep us busy during the Gula, will be the learning of the Yerushalmi. So there is a pasuk in the end of Megillas Rus, which says as follows, the Zos Lefanim be Yisrael, this is going to be for Klal Yisrael, Al HaGu'ula Val Temura, on the redemption, on the Temura, on that which has been replaced, Lekayim Kol Davar, to fulfill every matter. Shalaf ish nalo, each person is going to remove his shoe. Venas and Lareo, give it to his friend. Vizos hatu'uda b'Yisrael. This is going to be the redemption. This is going to be the tu'uda, the certificate of Klal Yisrael. The Medrash says that Zos hatu'uda will be the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is going to be the certificate to freedom. It's going to lead to the Geula, to the Yeshua. And seemingly, it's what's going to be learned during the period of Yemos Mashiach. So let's learn why that is, why we learn the Bavli now, and why will be the Yerushalmi that's going to be in the times of Mashiach. So hopefully you guys have the Marmakomus in front of you. If not, I'm going to share screen them back and forth, and we'll share together. Give me 1 second to find it. Bear with me. I am looking for it. Here we go. Okay, everyone see it? Here's the page. First source is the Gemara, Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara tells us, Tanya Rabbanan, a fascinating brisa. Shlosha Sonim Zed Zed. There are three types of people, or three groups of beings, of creatures, that hate each other. Who are they? Who are the three groups that sown in Zedze? Elohein, Haklavim, the dogs, Tarnagolim, chickens, Hachaveirim, which are some type of nation, the Yeshomrim, Af Hazonos, and then the Yeshomrim say, Af Tamidei Chachamim Shebavel. That Tamidei Chachamim, the Rabbanan in Bavel, hate each other, they despise each other. Why is that? Furthermore, the next Gemara tells us number two, the Gemara Bamatzia Daf, Hey, hey, I'm an Aleph, Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira is a fascinating personality. Rabbi Zeira, he lived in Bavel, he grew up in Bavel, and Kisalik La'arad Yisrael, when he fled to go to Eretz Yisrael, Yosef Mea Tanisa, he fasted 100 fasts, to Lishtakach Gamre, so that he should forget the learning of Bavel, Mine, to have a clean slate, a fresh mind, Kiheicha Delo Nichute, so the learning of Bavel should not contaminate his thinking. It should not get in the way of his thinking. So you see, this is fascinating. As a parenthetical point, Rabbi Zeira, as I said, is a fascinating personality. Rabbi Zeira did a number of interesting things. You see in the Gemara, he and Rabbi Yirmiyah were barpluksas. They were chavrusas. They argued with each other a lot. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Yirmiyah had a series of questions he would always ask Rabbi Zeira, trying to get him to crack a smile, the Gemara Nida says. Like, what would happen if a woman gave birth to an elephant-looking child, or a child that looks like a pig, or different types of creatures? Very strange. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Yirmiyah, was trying to get Rabbi Zeira to crack a smile, to laugh, to have a little leitzanus. But Rabbi Zeira was very, very machbid, not to laugh, not to smile, not to be too easygoing. So the Aruch Haner says that's why the Gemara in Megillah, famous Gemara, where Rabbah had his perm to do with Rabbi Zeira. And Kam Rabba Veshacha Rabbi Zeira. Rabba got up and shechted Rabbi Zeira during the perm suda, because Rabbi Zeira was a very serious individual. It's very hard to have an enjoyable type of perm suda with him, so he shechted Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira was a very serious individual. And this Gemara proves it. When he left from Bavel, he fasted 100 days to forget all the learning that he had done in Bavel, in order to have a clean slate when he went to learn in Eretz Yisrael. So we see already two Gemaras how the Torah in Bavel was very inferior. The Talmidei Chachamim didn't get along with each other, they hated each other. that Rebbe Zeir wanted to forget all the learning in Bavel. The next Gemara, if you look inside number 3, the Gemara tells us that there's a mission in Menachos. So what would happen if Yom Kippur fell on Shabbos? So Hachalos Mischalchos L'Erev, that Lechem Apanim, that they would be divvied up every Shabbos. So if it's Chalios Be'er Shabbos, what would happen? Sayir Shel Yom HaKippur Mnechal L'Erev. The goat that was brought to Yom Kippur, they would eat it that evening. And the Babylonian, the Mishnah says, the Babylonians would eat it, that goat, Ochen Oso Kishu Chai, they would eat it when it was raw meat, not cooked. Mibnesha Daitan Yafe. Because they like to eat a lot, the Babylonians. And the Gemara goes on to say, they weren't really Babylonians. Lo Babylonian, number 4 in the bold. Lo Babylonian, they weren't really Babylonians. Ella Achzandrian, they were from Egypt, the city of Alexandria. So how come they call them Babylonians? Mitoch shesh sonim es a Babylonian. The Yerushalmis hated people from Babel, Kornos al shema Babylonian. Anyone they didn't like was an insult. Oh, you're Babylonian, you're a Babylonian. And therefore, it was used as an insult. So we see that the individuals, the personalities, the character in Babel were very inferior, and the learning was also very inferior. So much so, look at number 5 here. The Gemara Sanhedrin daf chav dal amun aleph invokes the pasuk in Eicha. The pasuk says it happens to also appear in Tilm as well. B'mechashakim, lashon of choshech. B'mechashakim, in darkness. Hoshivein, I placed Klaisel in the place of darkness. Kimesei olam. Like dead people, you were situated in Bavel. So what does that refer to? Amar Rebbe Yirmiya, ze tamudel shel Bavel. That the Gemara Bavli, Talmud Bavli, is referred to a place of darkness, Mechashakim, a place of Mesei Olam, a place of death. So we see Gemara after Gemara how inferior Talmud Bavli is. So why do we learn it? Why do we paskin based on the Bavli? Furthermore, the Gemara in Chagiga Daf, number 6 here, Chagiga Daf Yud, the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Uli Yotze Lavo Ein Shalom. Those who leave and those who return back have no peace. What does it mean you go and come back, there's no peace? Amar Rav, Rav says, Kevin Shiyotze Adam Midavar Halacha Lidavar Mikra. You know, when it comes to learning and growing in education, we start with preschool and go to elementary school and high school and yeshivas and so on. When you get to a certain level, you're in college, no one wants to go back and learn Aleph Beis again. You know Aleph Beis. So when a guy learns Pasukim, Mikra, and he advances to learning Halacha, which is a very high level of learning, so if he reverts back to learning Mikra, that's going backwards, that's pedaling backwards. So that's what it means. If you go and come back, you revert back, you fall back grades, Ein Shalom, it's not peaceful for a person. Shuv Ein Lo Shalom, that's what the Gemara says. Then, Shmuel Amar Zeha Porish Mitalmud LeMishnah. When a person's learning Gemara, heavy Gemara, and he then backpedals to learn Mishnayos, very simple or simpler, that's what it means, Ein Shalom. There's no peace of mind. He's learning backwards. You're supposed to advance, he's going reverse. Then Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu mi Talmud la Talmud. The person goes from one Gemara to another Gemara. It could also be backpedaling. Which Gemara does it refer to? Says Rashi number 7, Mi Talmud Yushalmi, the Talmud Bavli, Shehu Omuk. Deep, dark, hard to understand. What you're supposed to learn is Bavli, and then you advance to Yerushalmi. But if you learn Yerushalmi and then start going back to Bavli, you're falling back. You're going to a darker, deeper, not deeper in terms of understanding, but harder to understand. It's backpedaling. So we see Gemara after Gemara again that belittles the Torah of Bavel. It belittles the individuals, the Talmidei Chachamim there. Why do we learn Bavli now? And one more Gemara before we start to explain is the Gemara number 8. I won't explain the context, but I'll just draw that one line out. The one line in the under the bold there from the Gemara Bav Basra, Daf Kuf Nun Chesem Beis. The Gemara says, Avira de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. The atmosphere, the air, everything about Ara de Yisrael, the Avira, the air you breathe, Machkim, makes you smarter. It makes you smarter to be in Eretz Yisrael. So we see everything is going against us in Bavel, and everything is going for us in Eretz Yisrael. Babel, the Talmidei Chachamim hated each other. The Torah was much weaker there. It was dark. It was deathly. So why do we learn Bavli? Why do we paskin like the Bavli? That's the big question. So there are a few answers. The first answer is, if you have inside number 9, the Rif, there's many different rules of how to paskin Shilas. Like, for example, if it's Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we always pask like Rabbi Yochanan. If it's Rav and Abaye, Rav and Shmuel, the different rules that the Gemara tells us. Yachad v'rabim, halacha kirabim. So one of the rules we have in the Gemara is halacha kibasra. What does it mean, halacha kibasra? It means we paskin like the last opinion, the latest opinion, halacha kibasra. And it's understood by everyone that the Bavli was completed after the Yushalmi. Right? When the Gemara was written, Ravina Rav Ashi wrote the Gemara, they finalized the Gemara, they closed it off. That was already years, centuries after the Yushalmi was already closed off. A person who has got, even though there's a concept in halacha that Yiridos Hadoros, that later generations are going on a lower understanding. But the last people, that tekufa, to seal everything off, they had a purview of everything. And all the previous rabbanim, and they were able to come to a hachra, to a final psak. So the Rif writes in Ervin, we pask like the Bavli over the Yushalmi, because halacha kibasra, historically Bavli came after the Yushalmi. Very, very interesting. It's a derech ha-psak. Even though Bavli is a weaker Gemara, in the end of the day it came later, and that's why paskin halacha kibasra. The Ritva in Yuma Daf Nun Zayin Amud Alf. If you take a look at your Mar Makomos number 10, the Gemara says it's on your screen now. The Gemara says that the Ritva rather says, if you just read the bold, that the reason why we have all these Gemaras, he quotes from the Rambam's Tshuva actually, where we have all these Gemaras belittling the Bavli. He says, Mihu, in the bold, Lav v'chol hadoros hayukein. It wasn't always true in all generations. Ela b'mei Rabba, Rav Yosef, Rabaye, v'Rava, in the time period of those great Amorayim, davulei shmados. There was a shmad. Shmad means there were pogroms, there were crusades, other types of expulsions that took place throughout history. Dafka, during those time periods of Rabba, Rav Yosef, Abaye, Rava, and therefore since they're busy running around, they couldn't think straight, they couldn't learn in a clear manner. However, the Ritva says at the end, the last two lines of this source, number 10, in the bold, Abal Acharkach, after some time has passed, after the time period of Rabba, Rav Yosef, and Abaye, Acharkach Nisgavra HaTorah Bebavel. After times when there were no longer pogroms, there were some quiet, some peaceful times, Torah was able to be centralized, and it strengthened, and it was an outpouring of success and learning. Kimosha Kosu Bimei Rav Ashi, Damrina Rav Ashi said, Miyamos Rebbe, V'ad Rav Ashi, L'matzinu Torah Ugdula B'malkum Echad. From Rebbe's time, which is the Tanaim, to Rav Ashi, which was the end of the Amoraim, there were no greater times of centrality of Torah and learning and success. Meaning in between, things were very rocky, very shaky. Rav Ashi was zocha to live in a time of peacefulness, and therefore the Torah was overflowing with understanding, and therefore, even though the Gemara presents the Bavli as being inferior, that was just during a certain tkufa. But by the time Ravina, Rav Ashi came around, they were able to learn with great success because pogroms and whatnot had settled down and stopped, and that's why we learn like the Bavli. So it's a change in history, which is a fascinating point by the Ritva. But to me, the most fascinating pshat is found by the Netziv. The Netziv has a number of svarim. One of the svarim is called Hamak Davar. All the svarim have the word Amek in it. Hamak Davar, Hamak Davar on Psukim, on Dvarim, on Chumash. Hamak Sheela is his commentary on the Sheoltos. So Hamak Davar in Parshas Kisisa, he has an incredible idea. He's comparing there the Luchos Rishonos and the Luchos Shnios. And, you know, the Medrash actually says that the Luchos Shnios are more mechubad than the Luchos Rishonos. Now, if I were to ask any of you, ask myself, which is more kadosh, which is more kavod, which is greater? We would all answer Luchos Rishonos. It was written with Etzbe Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch himself wrote it. Luchos Shnios. How could that be more mechuba than the Luchos Rishonos? And so the Amik Davar, the Netziv, explains the most incredible thing in the world. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world. He created Gan Eden. But he sent Adam and Rishon outside of Gan Eden. Now, we view that typically as a curse, that we have to work, we have to make money, we have to build, we have to plant. But the truth is, it was actually an incredible bracha, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed us to have a hand in his creation. He allowed us to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He allowed us to plant seeds. Gan Eden was just given to Adam and Chava. But now we are sent out to, you copy me. You plant your own seeds, your own trees, your own fruit. You have your own children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Adam and Chava, and now we have the ability to have our own children. We have the ability to cultivate and build a world like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a bracha. We get to emulate him. Rav Soloveitchik had an incredible idea. He asked the question, now why is there only a mitzvah of benching after we have bread? Why don't we bench after you have a drink of water, some fruit, something else? Why dafka after we have bread do we bench? And so he explained, because you know, when it comes to fruit, it's very easy to see Yad Hashem. Yeah, what do? You put an apple seed in the ground, a pit in the ground, and after a few years you have a tree and there's apples. There's very little a farmer needs to do to make an apple good. Maybe to fend off some squirrels or whatever animals you have living in the area. But to make bread, you know what it takes to make bread? You have to first plow the ground, plant the seed, wait for it to grow, daven for the rain, you have to cut it, you have to grind it, you have to sift it, you have to separate it, you have to knead it, you have to bake it. There are 11 steps. Now those learning Daf Yomi learn very intimately the 11 steps of making a challah, making bread. After all is said and done, after a full year, I sit back, I eat that piece of bread, I think, wow, I did a good job. I made this bread from beginning to end. Now, Zocha once with my brother-in-law, we wanted to bake matzah. We wanted to do more than just bake matzah. We wanted to actually, you know, take the wheat from the ground. So we found the farm in New Jersey, and we were able to start cutting some wheat. And we collected wheat, we put it in the box, we let it dry out, we ground it, we sifted it, went through a whole process. There was some yid in Bar Park basement who had a whole thing, had to sift it, had to separate it, had to do winnowing, had to do zora. It's a long process. By the end of it, you feel really proud of yourself. And it's very easy to forget that Hashem allowed you to do this. Hashem put the potential in that seed. He just let you partake in the creation of bread. Everything we do in the world is Hashem allowing us to partake in His world. To have children, to build fruit, to make challah. So we need to remind ourselves of that. Same is true of the Luchos Shnios. Hashem says, this is how I make the Luchos, Etz Belkim. Now it's broken. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to make it. Not as a curse, per se, but as an opportunity to build the Luchos and write a Torah like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe Rabbeinu sat there with a melus, and he chiseled away. He was schwitzing and chiseling every single letter. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shamor V'zach, everything to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Netziv says, same is true of the Bavli. You see, in Yushalmi, everything came very easy. Avira de'ar yisrael machkim. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you become smart. You could just sit back and that's it. The knowledge, the chachma, seeps into your brain. Through osmosis, through being and breathing in that airspace. Bavli, there's no siyata d'shmaya there as much. Very little hashkacha. You live in place of darkness, it's death. However, although at point zero, when they left the starting point, Yerushalmi was way ahead of the Bavli. After the Bavli sat, the Talmid Chacham sat hard and chiseled away and worked and worked and worked, they were able to eventually surpass and become greater than the Yerushalmi. Are you more impressed with a guy who's born a genius or a person who became a genius, who became a Talmid Chacham? We're much more impressed with a person who put a melus in to exert. So that's exactly what the Netziv says. The Bavli represents the Amelus, which eventually put it over the Yerushalmi. Take a look inside to read that together, the language of the Netziv. It's a beautiful Netziv. You look at number 11. He writes, take a look at just the four lines down in the bold where it says, Bavli, mikol makom, einu l'ganai. When we call Bavli a place of darkness, it's not l'ganai. It's not belittling it. It's not disgraceful, chas v'shalom. Ela kocha hanifla, the incredible, unbelievable power and potential. Lahayir halacha, they bring a light and energy to halacha. Afilu b'mechashakim, even a place of darkness and death. Hainu bavel. V'chutz la'aretz she'ein ba'or eretz hakodesh. It doesn't have the siyata d'shmaya. However, after the amelus, even in a place of darkness, they were able to succeed. And that's why we learn the Bavli over the Yerushalmi, because it shows the amelus, how much amelus and the exertion a person could go, could do and apply. I spent one Shabbos in my life in Bnei Brak. 20 years ago, I was learning in Eretz Yisrael for the year, a year and a half. I learned in Hakotel. In my second year, my Shana Bet year, two older Bachim took me and a friend of mine to Bnei Brak for Shabbos. We stayed in a house there. I still can't imagine such a house exists in Bnei Brak, but I knew nothing then. But it was a retired individual, a Baal Bus from Europe, and he built a beautiful house with a basement and a pool in the basement. Incredible house in Bnei Brak. It didn't fit. But we had a very nice time, luxurious stay in this place. And Friday night, this individual shared with us an idea, which I thought about a lot. Over time, I argued with his message, but I came out with a different conclusion. I don't know if he quoted from a sefer, I was very young back then, but he said that the greatest leaders that we have in all of the Torah was Avram, Moshe, and Yisrael. And as I thought about this over time, I didn't agree with him that Yisrael was of the top three leaders we have, but I agreed with the message he said with us, because the common theme between Avram and Moshe and Yisrael is that they all grew up in a house of Avodah Zarah. Avram grew up in the house of Terach, Moshe grew up in the house of Paro, and Yisrael grew up in his place of Midian, of a place of Avodah Zarah. And the lesson is that sometimes a person in his surroundings is living in a place of darkness, like Bavel. B'machashakim kimeisei olam, a place of death, a place of darkness. But a person is able to persevere and to endure those surroundings and able to come out alive and successful, you create some of the greatest leaders of Yiddishkeit. It's not just coincidental that Avram and Moshe grew up in such a surroundings. It made them who they were. When a person's in business and he fails, if he's able to pick up his pieces and continue on, he's going to learn from his mistakes and become even greater. Now the Gemara says there are only four people who never sinned in all of history. They were all great people, but they were not as great as the people who did sin. Yishai was a tzaddik, he never sinned. Who was greater, Yishai or his son David, who did sin? David was greater, even though he sinned. Because what makes great leaders are people who are able to learn from their mistakes, build from their surroundings, and become successful. That's exactly what the Bavli represents. Now you have something really interesting about this. There's a Gemara Bava Metzia, tells a fascinating story about one of the Amoraim. His name is Rabba Bar Avuha. And Rabba Bar Avuha, one time, he was zocha to Gilui Eliyahu HaNavi. He got to meet Eliyahu HaNavi face to face. And he had a question that was bothering him. It happened to be that, for some reason, Rabba Bar Avuha at the time was in a Beis Kvaros. He was in a cemetery, a non-Jewish cemetery. Eliyahu pierced him, and Rabba Bar Avuha says, "Great, I've got a shaila for you." He asks the shaila to Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu Navi tells him the answer. This is the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph On Tamud Beis. Now, after Eliyahu answers his question, Rabba Bar Avuha asks him a very direct question. Eliyahu, we have a Mesorah that you're a Kohen, and a Kohen is not allowed to come to a Beis HaKvaros. You can't come to a cemetery. What are you doing here in the cemetery? So Eliyahu responds back that clearly you have not learned Seder Taros. Because had you learned Seder Taros, you would know that Rabbi Shimon Yochai tells us that the cemeteries of non-Jews are not metame be'ohel. It says, "Ein kivrehem shel ovdi kachavim ein metamin." They're not metame. So Rabbi Baruch Han responds back, "Arba lo matzina b'shisa matzina." I can't even get through four siddarim of Mishnayos of Gemara. How do you expect me to go through all six? So he says, why not? Why can't you learn through all of Shas? What's wrong with learning through Shas? So he says, Rabba Bar Avuha says, "Dechikle milsa. I need to make a parnasa. I don't have time to learn all of Shas. I need to make money, feed my family." So Eliyahu says, okay, come with me. Eliyahu said something, said some words, the Gemara describes. He brought Rabba Bar Avuha to Gan Eden. And there he said, so Rabba Bar Avuha took his shirt off and started collecting all the delicious fruits from Gan Eden. And then suddenly he heard a sound, a voice come out. And the voice said, Man ka'ochil la'alma, who's eating from this world? Ki Rabba Bar Avuha, who's eating the food? Rabba Bar Avuha got very nervous. He dropped all the fruit. He ran out of Gan Eden. But his shirt still had the beautiful scent, delicious aroma of Gan Eden. He was able to sell it for a very, very high price because it smelled so good. And he gave the 1,000 dinar that he made, he divided amongst his sons-in-laws. That's the mice. But he said, I can't get through 4 sets of shas. How do you expect me to get through 6? I never learned taros. Which, by the way, gives us great chizik. If Rabba Bar Avuha wasn't able to accomplish this, we shouldn't feel so bad what we can accomplish. So which 4 siddharim was he referring to? So the Rashi there comments that in the Bavli, we have shas, we have Gemara, on only 4 siddharim. And Yerushalmi, we have Gemara on a different 4. So what does that mean? So in the Bavli, we have Gemaras on Moed, we have Gemaras on Nashim, we have Gemaras on Nizikin, we have Gemaras on Kiddush, on Kachim rather. We don't have Zeraim. Brachos is we have, other than Brachos, there's nothing on Zeraim. We don't have anything on Taros other than Nida. The Zeraim and Taros are very empty. But we do have, again, Nashim, Moed, Nizikin, and Kachim. The Yushalmi, on the other hand, has a different 4. They share, they have a Gemara Yushalmi on Moed, on Nashim, and Nizikin. But it has on Zeraim also, which we don't have Bavli. It has Zeraim. Why does it have Zeraim? Because Rashi explains, Zeraim is relevant for Yushalmi. In Eretz Yisrael, the Zeraim are relevant all the time. There are very little halachas in Eretz and Chutzlarts that relate to Zeraim. So we don't have one of the Bavli in the Zeraim. We have a Yushalmi. But there is no Kudshim of the Yushalmi, because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So it's not Halach Lamaisa either. So let me ask you a question then. Why is there Bavli Kachim? Kachim is certainly not relevant in Chutzlarts, not in Bavel. So why do we have Seder Kachim? So there's a Gemara that tells us in the end of Maseches Menachos, Kol ha'omer chatas, kilu hikriv chatas. If one recites the Pesukim of chatas, if one learns the chatas, it's as if you are bringing a carbon chatas, as if you're bringing a carbon shlamin, a carbon ola, a carbon tamid. By learning it, it's as if you brought it. No such Gemara appears in the Yushalmi at all. The Yushalmi doesn't have a concept that if you learn something, it's like bringing it as a carbon. It doesn't exist in the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi was a very practical Gemara. Halach lamaisa, bottom line. What's a Mishnah called? You ever look in Yushalmi? What's a Mishnah called in Yushalmi? It's called a halacha. Because Yushalmi was focused on halacha, bottom line. But if you look in the Bavli, a Mishnah is called masnisin. Masnisin means to learn. The Bavli was all about a place of asik hatorah, learning, amelus. Your amelus could be so good, it could create a carbon. It could create a tamid, an ola, a chatas. The Yushalmi wasn't about the learning itself. It was about halacha maisa. Is there carbon or is there no carbon? And this is a theme that happens in many places. I'll share another one with you. But it goes along with what we're saying here. Because again, the Bavli, the reason why we learn the Bavli is because it emphasizes the amelus batorah. The ability to exert one's learning and to overcome the fact that it's a place of darkness, a place of death. There's a Gemara that tells us in Shabbos that David HaMelech was negotiating with the Kadosh Baruch Hu when he's going to die. And he asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu when he's going to die. Hashem says, I can't tell any person when they're going to die. So David HaMelech says, can you tell me which day of the week? So Hashem says, I can tell you which day of the week. That I'm fine with telling you. So the Gemara explains that Hashem told him he's going to die on Shabbos. So David didn't want to die on Shabbos. It's not a day to die on. He left out delaying the burial. So he says, can I die on a Sunday, on a Yom Rishon? He says, I can't, because the moment the next Malchus is ready to come, which is Shlomo HaMelech, I can't delay it even for a moment. So David says, okay, let me die on a Friday. I'll give a day of my life up to die on a Friday so I get a proper burial without delaying. So Hashem says an incredible thing to David HaMelech. Hashem says, Tov li yom echad sha'ata yoshev osik batorah. One day of your learning, David, is greater to me than the elef olos she'osid Shlomo bincha lahakriv lefanai agave mizbech. Your one day learning is greater to me than all the thousands of karbanos brought by Shlomo HaMelech. Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out the Yushalmi has a similar discussion, but the language is a little bit different. Hashem says to David, according to the Yushalmi, that greater to me is one day of your she'ata ose, the mishpat and stucca that you do. The Yushalmi doesn't say the limud Torah, it says the ma'isim tovim, the actions that you do. Because the Yushalmi was a very practical gemara, halach l'maisa. But the Bavli was about learning. Learning itself, the amelus, could translate into something real as well. And this is a common theme you have, and there are many, many more rides, which I won't go through right now. But either way, we see that's why the Bavli is learned over the Yushalmi, because, again, incredible amelus. What happens, however, which we don't have time to go through right now, is, but I'll just say al regal achas, there's a mice in Baba Kama with Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana had to flee from Bavel and go to Eretz Yisrael because the Persians were after him. So his Rebbe told him, Rav Kahana, when you get to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rav Yochanan Shir, do not ask questions for a number of years, for 7 years. Reish Lakish got wind that Rav Kahana, a great Talmid Chacham, was going to come to the Shir. So Reish Lakish warned his chavrusa, his brother-in-law, Rav Yochanan, watch out for this Ari, this lion, Rav Kahana, he's going to be in your Shir. So Rav Yochanan gives a Shir, and Rav Kahana doesn't say a thing. He stays silent. And Rav Yochanan says, well, your Ari, your lion, turned into a little sheep. A little nothing, or a little fox, the Gemara says. So Rav Kahana took that offensively. Rav Kahana says, let the 7 years, my Rebbe said, turn into seven rows. There were seven rows in front of him. And Rav Kahana started bombing him with question after question after question. And Rav Yochanan couldn't answer the question, and each time he couldn't answer, he took another pill out from beneath him. Till finally, Rav Yochanan was on the floor. And he was bombarded with questions he couldn't answer, all these Tzarachians. And he said, I wanted to see who this guy is. Let me see Rav Kahana. He had these long eyelashes he couldn't see. So his attendant lifted up his eyelashes, and he saw Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana had a little, something with his lips. And it looked like he was smiling or laughing at Rav Yochanan, like he was making fun. Now, I asked these questions, you couldn't answer them. Rav Yochanan had these eyes to kill. He saw that Rav Kahana was laughing at him, and he ended up staring at him, and he died. Rav Kahana died. So the next day, Rav Yochanan didn't know he died. He gave a shir. He says, where's that guy who was here yesterday? And they told him, you know, Rebbe, you killed him. He said, I killed him. Where's he buried? He takes him to the Ma'ara, the cave where Rav Kahana is buried. And he says, there's a big snake that was blocking the entrance. Rav Yochanan says to the snake, let the Rebbe go visit the Talmud. The snake didn't budge. Let the Talmud go visit the Talmud. Let the equals, we're equals, the contemporaries, let's go visit the friend. The snake didn't move. Let the Talmud, Rav Yochanan, visit the Rebbe, Rav Kahana. What? And finally, the snake moved out of the way and let him in because Rav Kahana, although he was younger, Rav Kahana was greater than Rav Yochanan. And Rav Yochanan concludes the Gemara and he says, I thought the Torah was ours, Dilchan Amri, Dilhunu, it's theirs. They from Bavel are much greater than us in Eretz Yisrael. They took the Torah. So what's Pshat? How could that be? So again, I wish there was more time to explain all this. But the Gemara explains in Ksubas Daf Ayin He that starting off, a Ben Eretz Yisrael is greater than a Ben Bavel. But when you have a Ben Bavel who grew up in Bavel and then moves to Eretz Yisrael, that becomes twice as good as a Ben Eretz Yisrael. And the Raya is from Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah lived in Bavel, the Gemara says. He didn't know what the Chacham were talking about in Bavel. He didn't chap anything in Bavel. But when he went to Eretz Yisrael, he started saying, the Babylonians don't know anything. Because when you have the combination of a Ben Bavel, who then moves to Eretz Yisrael, you have the best of both worlds. What's the best of both worlds? So the Shla says something incredible. The Shla says, because in Bavel, as we've been explaining, is all about the pilpul, the ability to analyze, the lumdus, the brisker learning. The sharpness. You have that as a background, as a form of education. And then you move to Eretz Yisrael, where it's a place of Avira, the Ar Yisrael Me'achim, a place that makes you smarter because of the Kedusha. You put the person with great work ethic, with great ambition and passion and ability to analyze, you put him in Eretz Yisrael with the Kedusha, that creates a superhuman learner, a superhuman Talmid Chacham. And that's what's been created with Rav Kahana. So now we can understand why, in the times of Mashiach, we're going to be learning the Yerushalmi. We all live in Bavel, if you will. We live in Boca, Woodmere, we live in Chutz La'aretz. The Maral says that how come every single morning when we say the bracha of Bircha Shema, we talk about the Bircha Satorah, right? The Abba Rabba could serve as a Bircha Satorah. If you forgot Bircha Satorah in the morning, it could serve as a Bircha Satorah. So if it's a Bircha Satorah, why are we talking about in the bracha Me'abra Kanfos Aretz, gathering the Klaisel from the four corners of the world? So says the Maral that Torah and Klaisel are the same. That just like we're going to be gathered from the four corners of the world, so too learning is going to be gathered from the four corners of the world. What that means is, we are living in a time period above hell, of working on our pilpul, our ability to understand and to analyze. But la'as lavo, when we're all going to unite in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to be learning the Yerushalmi because the clarity is going to be so strong because of the Kedusha. We have the Ben Bavel plus the Ben Eretz Yisrael. We're going to be the Rav Kahanas of the world. And that makes the greatest type of a Talmid Chacham. If you have that Bnei Bavel Koach plus the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. And for that reason, this will be, the Yerushalmi will be the Torah of the future. In Mirat Hashem, we should be zocha to see that day very soon, where we can all take our kochos of learning from our Kanfos Aretz, bring it together to Eretz Yisrael, to learn as a Klai Yisrael, as a unit, in bringing the Mashiach with the Gula Shema Ba'amitas, B'mheir Av Yameinu, Amen V'Amen. And Mirat Hashem, next week I'd like to discuss how by Shlishi we will be built. Okay, thank you so much, everyone.